Now that's some music right there. Let me see if this thing is on here. Okay, all right. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. This is Uncle Stan, and we're going to talk right, get into to the football right away.
Uncle Stan, what are you doing? What? Get out of here. What? How did you get in here?
Well, I'm tired of listening to the damn Seminoles and Gators and Wildcats. We're talking Bucks football here.
No.
Whoa, what's going on?
Whoa, hey. Uncle Stan.
Uncle Stan, time to leave.
Holy crap. Reynolds, are you all right?
Yeah.
Trevor, untie his hands, please.
Yeah.
Untie Scott's hands.
Uncle Stan's a kidnapper.
Oh, my God. Should we call the cops or
Uncle
not?
Stan just hijacked the show.
Yeah, that was odd.
What was that god-awful music he was playing? Was that Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy?
Like Lawrence Welk or something. I don't know.
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, been gone for a while.
He just got accosted by a 90-year-old man.
Yeah.
How do you allow that to happen?
Well, that's a good question. I'm still recovering from my bronchitis, so I'm not fully 100% physically, but I'm on the road to recovery.
Mark, you want to do the intro?
Yeah, let's do the intro.
Good Lord almighty. All right, let's try this now the right way, now that Uncle Stan is out. Security's on their way. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with the man bun himself, the number one Seminole fan and Willie Taggart fan in the nation.
Not me.
And making his return from his trip in his covered wagon to Kansas and back, just in time to get kidnapped by Uncle Stan.
Yes.
Thank God we saved your life. You owe us. Mr. Scott Reynolds, welcome back, Scott.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I want to thank Greg Allman and Pat Donovan and Roy Cummings for filling in.
Now,
I listened to those podcasts, and they weren't nearly as good as the ones where I'm on it, but they did an adequate job of filling in.
Debatable. Trevor, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Bucks were won two games while Scott was gone.
Oh.
He gets back in town, and they lose.
You know what?
These are just the facts.
Facts are facts.
I was actually driving on both of those Sundays to and from Kansas, and I didn't have the chance to watch the games live for the first time in years. I mean, I can't remember a time when I haven't watched the game either on TV or in person at the stadium. And I had to listen to Gene Deckerhoff, and he did a fantastic job.
And Dave Moore, yeah.
it was weird for me listening to the game on radio as I'm driving across Tennessee and Kentucky and all that and not see the game. But apparently I missed a good one with the Dolphins game. I've watched them now. I've seen them now.
Depends how you define a good one.
Yeah. Entertaining.
Entertaining. Yes, correct. Not a lot of defense, ton of big plays, and Tampa came out on top. So I guess there you go.
The Falcons game was interesting because I could totally – and this really wasn't even Gene Deckerhoff. This is just me knowing this team. I could totally envision exactly what I was hearing from Gene's mouth about Julio Jones running wide open, you know, and Julio
and
Jones again with the catch, you know, and over and over and over again. And so I really feel like I didn't miss much.
Yeah, you know what? That's my mistake. I said they won two games while you're gone. That's not true. They only won one. I forgot. Yeah.
I was actually there for the Jets game.
It was the Falcons game, which was a mess. And, you know, as I wrote on Sunday, for the most disappointing, you know, I've seen this team 40 out of their 41 years, started watching in 77,
really disappointed.
Does that hurt you?
Well, right. I mean,
you can't say that you've been from the beginning.
I am considering calling Morgan & Morgan for a potential class action lawsuit for my diabetes, my high blood pressure, my anger management issues.
I
kick small dogs, that too.
And wanting to fight Judah I.J. Burima.
And I still will, if I get a chance, once he gets healthy again. I will never beat up a man who's unhealthy, but right now he's still on injured reserve.
You certainly accosted Uncle Stan on the way out the door there.
Well, he gave me a little shot in the ribs, by the way. It does hurt. It has hurt. But my point is, in 41 years or 40 years of watching this football team, they found a new way to lose. And, you know, I don't know how many games, and I'm getting old so I don't remember, but for them to dominate on the stat sheet the way they did, and to still lose this football game in the way they did it so easily in overtime was just amazing to me. Again,
but so predictable.
Of course.
And I thought that they had a chance to win the game up in Green Bay, and you were there. We'll talk about that in a second, Trevor. I thought that once Charles Sims took off and got the ball out to the 40-yard line, I'm like, wow, this is a Pat Murray game-winning field goal situation here. This is really going to be something. Like, with this banged-up offensive line and, you know, and the defense playing a little spotty but, you know, well enough to win. But once that play got called back, and I knew that this game was going to overtime, I knew without a doubt. I said, if the Buccaneers don't win this coin toss, the Packers are going to march down the field and score a touchdown and win it.
By the way, I absolutely knew that. Never call tails. Statistics prove heads, because they flip from the heads position. It's not a huge difference, but there is a slight difference in when you do it. They've done scientific studies. You always call heads in that situation. Of course, Buccaneers.
I'll tell you what. During the games, I do most of the live tweeting, but then I also write the articles. And people are always like, "Oh, how do you get the recap article up?" So that was a fast article. Well, I'm doing it during the game and
fourth quarter. Yeah.
When you
already know the outcome of most of these games. Okay,
so here you go. And you know, you have to write the story, and you leave little parts of it out because obviously you have to get the ending. Yeah. But it's part of your job to prepare it and have it up as quick as you can. I had put in a picture of the Bucks as if like the Bucks had won the game, and right when that call happened where they called back the Charles Sims play, took the picture, took it out, replaced it with the Packers picture.
Yep.
And I knew, I knew it was like, that's it, game's over. Whether they lose it in regulation, whether they lose it in overtime, I've seen enough.
You're talking about the Charles Sims at the two-minute warning when they took the screen.
Yes.
And
yes.
then it was called back because Evan Smith blocked in the back.
Quote, unquote.
I mean, you talk about having to rewrite stories and whatnot. This is not just myself. This is every Bucks beat writer on the beat. In 2003, the year after the Bucks won the Super Bowl, Tony Dungy and the Indianapolis Colts came into Raymond James Stadium, and the Buccaneers had a lead, God, I want to say 21 points or something. They were just killing the Colts in that game. And all of a sudden, the Colts started making this fourth quarter comeback, and Marvin Harrison was just working over Tim Wansley. Brian Kelly was injured at the very part of the early part of that game with a pectoral muscle tear. And you could just see, and this is a Monday Night Football game, so this is like newspapers are going to press probably within the hour after the game is over.
Right.
We were doing Pewter Report magazine at the time. We had an issue that was going to print later that night. So we love those games, right? When it's so lopsided, either the Bucks win or they lose, and it's easy and apparent because you're writing, and sometimes the story's almost done by the time the fourth quarter rolls around.
Right.
That was a game where everybody wrote the story, the Bucks were going to win, and then right around midnight, as the game's going to overtime and the Colts are making this incredible comeback, you're having to completely reverse everything and write the Colts' victory.
Didn't the Colts miss a field goal that would have won it, but then there was a penalty on
Simeon
the Bucks.
Simeon Rice.
Yeah, that's right.
Simeon Rice got the illegal jumping penalty.
And then they kicked it and won. I remember watching that game. It was a very depressing game to watch, but I wasn't writing at the time, so I just went to bed. I always tell people that. People, and I don't think I've mentioned this in the podcast, people all the time say, man, you're so lucky you get paid. My dad always tells people, he gets paid to watch football games. No. I get paid to write about them after the game is over while you're in bed.
Or drinking a beer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning after a Monday night game.
Yeah.
And we're working. And again, I don't expect anybody to feel sorry for us. That's for sure.
We haven't had a late night game in a while.
Well, we're getting ready to have one on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yep. It'll be over about 11:30 and then get down open locker room. By the time we get back out. Yeah. We'll be
not
leaving about 3 a.m.
Not getting out of there till
3. Yeah. Definitely. So. Don't plan on doing anything on Tuesday that day because you're going to be completely wiped out.
I don't have any friends,
so
I don't really do anything.
That's true.
That's true, yeah.
You definitely don't have any friends. The Buccaneers defense has no friends this week either. Gerald said it yesterday. He goes, this one was on us. Now, I like to look at it like, yes, it was, but it's on Jameis Winston. It's on Evan Smith. It's on Dirk Cutter. It's on Brian Anger. It's on the punt, you know, protection team. I mean, there was plenty of blame to go around in this game. It was magnified by the fact the Buccaneers gave up zero resistance on that last overtime drive.
Yeah, they lost
a game. This is almost as bad as when the Gators lost to Georgia Southern, who didn't complete a forward pass in that game, Will Muschamp's last year. Seriously, Brett Hundley threw for 84 yards.
Yeah.
How do you lose a football game when you lose a quarterback?
Not just a football game, an NFL game.
And again, this was not 4 feet of snow on the ground in Green Bay.
No.
Here's what I don't understand.
This is actually perfect conditions.
Right.
It's Brett Hundley. You know he's going to be doing some read option, right? That's that's what his bread and butter was at UCLA. He could sling the ball a little bit, but he was also not just a mobile quarterback. He was a running quarterback. Sure. He was a scrambling quarterback. And so, you know, and this is going to go on Will Golston and Jay Hayes and also Mike Smith. You got to know that after it works for a 14-yard run and a first down, that they're going to go back to that read option.
Yeah, you can't give it up again.
Yeah.
Did you see Levante David after the second one? He went up to Will Golston, and he's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That is your job. And they show the replay of it, and Will gets sucked in inside again.
Yeah.
Look, I don't care if the other 10 guys fall down and you're the only guy to tackle the guy. Your responsibility is to sit and stay and keep that edge right there and not allow the quarterback to go outside, no matter what else happens.
If he's going to run around you, he needs to run inside you rather than outside.
Funnel it back inside. Yeah. You can't let him get to the outside. That's fundamental Pee Wee football 101.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Will Golston has like a 9 or 10 foot wingspan, right? I mean, the guy's huge.
Oh yeah,
just put your arm out there as like a toll booth.
No, he's like a pterodactyl.
I know,
there. But he doesn't. Yeah, that was a microcosm really of this entire season.
That was,
though.
Yeah,
you know, that's a good drive, way to put that. And it's just if there's a way that they can lose, they found a way to do it. And once again, in my 40 years of watching this team, this was an interesting one where they only give up 84 yards, dominate on the stat sheet. And then give up a terrible drive there at the end.
Yeah, I don't know why, and I wrote this in the two-point conversion. Thank you, by the way, for doing the two-point conversion while I was gone.
They were awful.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
They were really bad.
Well, I would say they were like mediocre at best, but okay, fine. I'm just trying to like appease them.
Your wife could have wrote those.
Yeah, agreed.
Definitely. But, shout out to Ashley.
Yeah, but I just think they're going to win this week. I don't know why. Maybe it's because this is the only game they're going to win. But I think they're going to win this week.
So you're picking them to win. So that means I have to pick them to lose.
I'm just picking them to win.
Because I'm trying to catch Scott in the end of the year standings. Okay. Come on. I'm never going to catch
him. He keeps winning.
That's true.
If I added it up.
The opposite of what I'm doing, Cook. It's working.
I'm probably out of the running. I'm probably mathematically eliminated from the Pewter Report playoffs.
I would definitely agree. Yes, there's no doubt about that. But I think that somehow, some way, they're going to win this week, and that's going to be it.
They can't win this week because that messes up my prediction of 4-12 that I had them at the beginning of the year.
No. Contraire, mon frère.
No, it was 4-12.
Yours was 12-4.
There were four. Yeah. There was a 4 in there, and there was a 12 in there.
Indeed. Yeah, and it wasn't 14-2.
Oh, okay.
12-4. What were you thinking?
Same thing. A lot of people were thinking, "Hey, you got to go out on a limb. You got to be bold sometimes." Okay. You know what I was thinking? A 97 football team with additional talent. Third year for Jameis Winston, Dirk Cutter in his third year running this offense, Mike Smith's defense getting on a roll last year. You know, it made a little sense. I look like a fool now. But
listen, we predicted 10-6. Most of the local Tampa Bay media predicted 10-6. We all have egg on our faces. What's crazy is Vegas even said 8 wins.
Right.
Vegas right now has got to be going, holy crap. Like, we're really bad at this, you know, because I don't see this team winning more than one more game down the stretch.
No.
I really don't.
No.
I think this team is destined.
This is
for
the
five
only
wins.
One they can win.
Yeah.
This
come on.
It.
Come on.
They're not beating Carolina in Carolina.
On Christmas Eve.
Probably not.
They're
not
beating
they're not.
The Falcons because they're just not good.
It's going to come down to the Saints and the Eagles.
And the only way they get a win against the Saints is if somehow they would have a spot locked up, which it looks like the NFC is going to be really tight at the top, and they're going to be playing for home field advantage.
They're going to be battling the Eagles.
Try and beat the Bucs by 45.
The Saints are going to need that game for sure, yeah.
Well, listen, guys. Ye of little faith.
I'm listening.
The Buccaneers are going to finish this
Stafford
thing off for the four
today,
game
by the way.
four game win streak.
Well, and here's the thing too. When you look at all of the Buccaneer coaches that have been fired, we're talking about Sam Weish, we're talking about Tony Dungy, John Gruden, Raheem,
Richard Williamson.
Chiano.
Don't forget Richard.
What do those guys have in common? They all lost their last game
by a lot.
Usually by a lot, yeah. And I could see that happening for sure.
Well, that's a possibility. Now, I'll say this, and maybe I shouldn't say this. We can cut it out if we don't want to use this. But had a chance to talk to Gerald a little bit yesterday. You know, he kind of pulled me and Roy aside and was talking a little bit. And his message to the team is, it's a privilege to play this game, all right? Whether we're out of it or not out of it mathematically, he said our record should be turned around. He said we should be 8-4, not 4-8. You know, he said we should be reversed. He said, but it's not. But that doesn't mean that you don't play these last four games like they mean something. And he goes, I was here in 2013. I was here in 2011. I said, oh, I was too.
Yeah.
He said, I don't feel like I did those years.
Right.
He said, but it's my job as a leader to try and keep these guys up. And again, you know, Gerald gets such a bad rap from some fans. Most knowledgeable Buck fans can look and see what this guy does behind the scenes, even if it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. But this is just another example and really impressed me with Gerald about, you know, his leadership. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he's been preaching to his D-line guys in the meeting every day. You know what I mean? You play like there's still something to play for, because what you're putting on film is there forever.
Yeah, I love that. That's an admirable quality. The problem is he is one of 53 players. I know.
He's got to convince the other ones to feel the same way.
Exactly. He was there for, you know, the demise of Raheem and the demise of Shiano and all of that. He was there for those instances. He lived it.
Right.
I would say, you know, a third, a half of this roster is first or second year players that haven't lived it. You know, they haven't gone, you know, in a downward spiral type season before. And you got to remember, even Lovie Smith in 2014 was 6-6 before December rolled around, right? I mean, they were talking because they kind of got back into it from their 2-5 start, I believe. And, you know, was this team going to make some noise down the stretch? They lost all four games, and ultimately they didn't. But that was the scenario. Last year, you know, I was talking to Jameis today. It's like, hey, this time a year ago, you guys were fighting for the playoffs. Now you guys are completely out of it, you know, and what's that like? So I just don't know that there's a lot of people on this roster that can empathize with Gerald and say, yeah, I've been down that road too, and I don't want to go down there again.
But
because this is going to be the first trip down that road for a lot of these guys.
Well, I talked to a lot of players today about why Gerald deserves to go to the Pro Bowl, and most all of them mentioned his leadership. In fact, Quan said, you know, he's been more vocal this year than he's ever been. He's always been a leader, but a leader by example. He says now he's talking to us before the game, during the game, you know, during the week. And he said that's really impressed Quan. I hope these players take it to heart because, again, as we saw with Shazier the other night and we saw, you know, what could have been a bad situation with Will Golston, it could be over tomorrow.
That's right.
And, you know, and again, for fans, if you're a fan, you want your team to play hard all the time. I remember as a young kid going to the stadium, and I would go to those end of the seasons when in the 80s when there was nothing to play for. But I still went there expecting them, hoping they would win and putting on a good show. And they owe that to the fans. Good news is three out of these last four are at home. This team does play better at home.
Yep.
Gives them an opportunity. But we'll see. They want to go into next year with some momentum. Depending on, obviously, you know, we don't know what the coaching situation is going to be, but these four games, we talked about it a little bit too in our roundtable this week. These next four games are going to say a lot about whether Dirk Koetter is back here.
No, there's no doubt about it. When you look at John Gruden losing his last four games, and he started off 9-3 that year, and the year prior to that, they were NFC South Division champions, hosting the Giants, who would eventually go on to win the Super Bowl that year, but hosting them in the playoffs. And John and Bruce Allen, that year, the year they got fired, signed contract extensions. So how quickly the reversal of fortune can take place when you're 9-3 one minute and then you're 0-4 in December, what type of taste that leaves in the owner's mouth means everything.
Right.
Same with Lovie Smith. Got his team to 6-6 and then 0-4 down the stretch. And that brought about Dirk Koetter. So, yeah, I agree with you. These next four games will really determine their comfortability in keeping Dirk on, and obviously some staff changes have to take place, or if they are just committed to moving on from Dirk.
I think, and again, this is just speculation on my part, you know the Glazers better, Scott, because you've been covering them a lot longer than I have, but you almost wonder if they're going to put some feelers out. Maybe they already have to certain coaches to try and gauge the interest and then allow these next four games to kind of dictate what they do. If they get blown out in four straight games, Dirk's gone. I mean, we can all argue.
Yeah, 4-12,
there's no way he's gone. They can't go into next year.
How many games does he have to win?
I don't know that he has to win more than, you know, I mean, I think two, he feels better about it. But even then, Trevor, what I'm saying is it may depend on the feedback they get from some feelers for a couple people.
I guess
like
so,
we talk about a John Gruden. If John Gruden does his wishy-washy, and he is. Let's face it, John, you know, he's thought about coming back. He's had opportunity. It's got to be the right situation and everything being exactly right. Before this season, he would have loved to have been the head coach. Does he come in if he is if his agent is approached by the Glazers, and we talked about it in the roundtable, and Jameis Winston is facing a 6-game suspension possibly.
Yeah.
Does that change his opinion if he comes here?
Those are good questions. I'll tell our Pewter Nation listeners out there that the NFL is no different than college, and what you've seen take place over the last week or two in college, where Jimbo Fisher is the coach at FSU, and he's talking to Texas A&M, and Willie Taggart is the coach at Oregon, and he's talking to FSU, and Scott Frost is winning a conference championship on the day where he is being hired by Nebraska. Yeah. This stuff happens behind the scenes earlier than you think it does.
Right.
You know, and I talked to some people in the know that said that Jimbo Fisher has had this lined up with Texas A&M since September. Since September.
Wow.
He's already had the exit strategy. And that comes from a very, very good source.
Right.
And this stuff happens. And that's why I wrote about John Gruden. And listen, there's no contract that's been signed, so I can't sit there and definitively say John Gruden's going to be the next coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But when I dedicate a whole SR's Fab Five to it, my whole point and premise of that is hey, this is November. This is when these types of conversations with ownership start happening.
Right.
And now what I don't know is I don't know if Dirk's going to be fired. I don't know if Dirk stays and Jason Light goes, or Jason stays and Dirk goes, or they both go, or they both stay. I have no idea. But from the owner's perspective, November is when you kind of get the lay of the land and you kind of sense the direction your team's going, and hey, it's not looking good for the playoffs this year, and do we want to make a change? And if the answer is yes or maybe, you start, like you said, putting the feelers out there, talking to agents, seeing who's available,
right,
putting together that hot list, who are the hot coordinators. You probably start paying less attention to your own team and start looking at the teams who are making the playoff runs, who are kind of coming out of nowhere,
right,
and seeing what type of assistants and coordinators you can pilfer from their team.
Yeah, and I think that's I think that's prudent. I think that's a smart thing to do. No matter what kind of business
you don't have
that
to pull
running.
The trigger,
right?
You don't have to sit there and make the switch. But do you have to do your due diligence? Yes. And again, that's what I was trying to convey in that November SR's Fab Five, all about John Gruden is.
And people are all over you on Twitter about right you're now. Trying to run Dirk out of town and you're stumping for Gruden.
Nope.
That's just not the case, people. Scott and I talk all the time about this.
It wouldn't matter what Scott writes if they won football games.
Right.
It wouldn't matter. Somebody's running somebody out of town. No. Like, if Dirk's fired, Dirk ran himself out of town because he turned a talented 9-7 team into a 5-11 team, or whatever they're going to finish.
It's like Gerald said yesterday in open locker room. He doesn't want to talk about the negative stuff. The negative stuff's been talked about so much. He wants to talk about positive stuff. Okay, but your record is 4-8.
Sure.
Like, you and your 52 other cohorts had a direct hand in the negativity.
Yeah, also,
you brought the negativity losing too many games on Sunday.
I understand Gerald saying that. I totally get that. But guess what the positive stuff is? We're going to start talking about next year.
Right. Because
this year is done.
Yeah.
So the positive is... The positive that he wants us to talk about is going to be the changes that are going to be made so this doesn't happen again
you,
next year. So he's not going to like that either.
I guarantee you, and you out there listening, and Pewter Nation can decide.
You people.
Whether this is right or wrong.
I hate when people say you people.
But there are half of you that
kind of
want this team to lose out because it's going to mess up the top 10 draft status otherwise. The more games this team wins, the further away they are from Bradley Chubb or Saquon Barkley or an offensive tackle or whoever you
Derwin
want
James.
This team to draft.
God, no.
The other half of you
actually, Derwin.
Want you to go out there and if you're the Buccaneers, win these games, finish strong, get some momentum for next year. Hopefully it keeps Dirk Cutter's job or provides some good vibes heading into next year for the next head coach, whatever. But that's the reality of it, is you guys are so in tune with the offseason and the draft because this team has sucked for so many years, over the last 10 especially, that we have to start talking about the draft in October and November because there really isn't much else to talk about.
Yep, that's true. And, nobody in New England is talking about the draft right now.
No,
nobody
not
in,
at all.
In Philadelphia is talking about
nobody
the draft.
Nobody in Green
right
Bay
now.
Talks about the draft until January.
Now, Cleveland's been talking about the draft since August.
Cleveland's been talking about the draft since 09.
Cleveland is perpetually
58 last time they won an NFL.
Cleveland is perpetually on the clock.
Yeah,
they're on the clock all the time.
Yep, for sure. All right, we're kind of wrapping up the Packers situation. Let's quickly look ahead to the game this Sunday against Detroit. And you guys mentioned this is a game that you feel like the Buccaneers can win and probably should win. You know, when you look at the Lions, Matthew Stafford has missed some practice time, but Trevor, you said he's practicing today.
Yeah,
correct?
He practiced today. Yep, which right. is Thursday is when we're talking.
I read an article on the. What is it, the ML Live? I don't know what yeah. newspaper that is up there in Detroit.
It's the Detroit paper.
Okay. Akeem Spence is pissed. And I just thought that was funny because Akeem's a great guy. We always liked yeah. Akeem here. But he literally said it's going to be a bloodbath. And he says, there's some things that I would like to say that I'm not saying. And he even said,
well, he wanted to stay here and he didn't get the contract.
Yeah. No, I have the video that's on our Twitter account that is him after the last game of the season yeah. last year. Yeah. And he said, like, I know it's a business. You know, my people handle it with their people. But he's like, I love it here. I love the people here. I yeah. love
he still lives here. He still has a house here.
No, I know. So, like, yeah. he wanted to be here. So I don't know who messed it up for him.
Well, I think they wanted to upgrade. And I think that they felt Baker was the upgrade. I don't know because to be honest with you, as much as I like Akeem, he has not had a very good year up in Detroit.
Well, I don't think Chris Baker's had that good of a year here either. Mm. I really don't.
I still take Baker. And
everyone on the D-line has been bad other than Gerald.
Yeah.
Agreed. Everyone.
Agreed.
Except everyone. Will Clark. No. Sack master. No. Sack oh my master.
God. I can't roll my eyes harder.
Game wrecker.
Game wrecker.
10 sacker next year for the Buccaneers.
There yeah. you go.
You know, nice guy. But, you know, look at Detroit. You know, Scott,
there's no running game.
You and I did this for a long time, and you know, I worked for you back when it was Buccaneer Magazine, and Bucks and the Packers used to be in the same division, the NFC Central.
Oh, Scott Mitchell, by the way.
Scott Mitchell. See, Scott that's what Mitchell. We were trying to come up yeah. with last week. It drove me crazy. I knew you knew that within 3 seconds of oh, me yeah. saying it, to the podcast.
I was listening to the podcast, screaming at my car radio. It's Scott Mitchell.
God, dude, how many games did we watch where the Buccaneers were favored and Charlie Batch and Herman Moore beat the Buccaneers and yeah, things
Johnny
like that?
Johnny Morton.
Yeah. Of course, Barry Sanders, we all remember that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it'll
John
be
Lynch remembers
this
Barry
would
Sanders.
Have been the perfect damn throwback game. Jeez, screw you, NFL, and your safety rules on stupid helmets. I yeah. mean, this would have been the perfect game this year for a throwback game,
I am
right?
so Mike Mitchell, you know, and I am like, listen, this is a brutal gladiator sport.
Wasn't
and
that
you
great
what
he said last night?
Listen,
yesterday?
Who, Mike Mitchell?
Yeah,
it was awesome.
It was phenomenal. And here's the thing. You think about this. I don't know how much firefighters make to go running into a burning building on a regular basis, or police officers when they're literally in the line of fire. Same with our armed forces people. But they're not making millions and millions of dollars to, in the words of most NFL players, play a child's game.
Right.
And so, while I am sympathetic to CTE and concussions and these types of things, it's not like these players don't know what they're doing. And they're being paid handsomely. Mm-hmm. They're being compensated tremendously for it. And they're getting fame. You don't see firefighters and police officers and armed forces people getting fame and glory, not to mention, you know, millions of dollars, a lot of it in guaranteed money. And all of that, and having to deal with the VA as opposed to the Cadillac insurance plans that these NFL players have. So I don't feel terribly sorry for some of these players who willingly, especially in this day and age, know what they're doing. The people I feel sorry for are like the Larry Zonkas and yeah. the John Reagans, the people back in yesteryear
right.
where they had the styrofoam helmets or whatnot.
Right.
And they're all jumbled up in the head and physically beaten and broken down because they didn't have some of these safeguards in place. I think
True.
Now it's kind of like back in the day when everybody smoked, right? Back in the 50s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't all this lung cancer research and emphysema and all of these different diseases, heart disease you could get from smoking, right? A human.
By the way, those diseases were all created by the federal government.
It's fake news.
To limit population.
I didn't know that.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
And 9/11 was an inside
basic
job.
Basic common sense should tell you I'm lighting something that's on fire mm-hmm. and I'm putting it in my mouth. And smoke, which typically makes you gag and cough, I'm actually inhaling in my lungs.
Yeah. Some smoke makes you cough.
And I'm saying that because my mom's a smoker. Sorry, Mom, but I'm calling you out.
Still?
Yeah, still. She's an old lady.
Nobody smokes in 2017.
Oh, she does, unfortunately.
Except at the casino. Everybody smokes there.
Yeah. But my point is this.
Have to.
I am with Mike Mitchell. I don't want any more skirts put on the NFL players. They know what they're getting into by playing this game. I do want to see as much technological advancement
as
here's
possible.
Here's the argument to that, Scott.
When it comes to the helmets, and I'm fine with the whole concussion protocol.
The problem with that is
extra oversight by these doctors.
Is these players can say all they want about we know what we're getting into until they get the concussion, then they start having symptoms 10 years down the road, and they file a $1 billion lawsuit. And so the NFL is just covering their rears on that.
Yeah,
it's totally a liability thing.
Yeah, the NFL doesn't actually care. You know, they just want to make the most money. Well, or they want to lose the least amount of money. Because that's the thing. When you watch Gronk get suspended for one game and then Smith-Schuster and Eichola are suspended for the same thing, like it just doesn't make any sense. And like Mike Mitchell was saying, you know, when you're suspending these defenders for hitting people who are quote-unquote like helpless, it's not my fault that I hit the dude with the ball. It's the quarterback's fault for setting him up. You know, it's that kind of a thing. It's like he's just playing the game. And then two, with Smith-Schuster's block, one, Vontaze Perfect would have made the tackle had he not been blocked. Exactly. Two, what do you want him to do? Block him at the knees?
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
Right.
Because he basically hit him square
concussion
in the chest. And because
or take
it was,
at your knees.
Yeah, because
what do you want? You want
because
CTE?
Because it looked fast.
Or you want to be a cripple?
Exactly. Man, it's just... Yeah, I think what the NFL is doing with certain parts of the game are just truly ruining the game. And it is a violent game, and I am with you. You can do things here and there to make it as safe as you want to make it with the equipment that you have. You know, obviously better teaching, better awareness, blah, blah, blah. But in between the lines, in between the whistles, the game is the game.
Yes.
And sure, malicious stuff. Right. Yes. Obviously, no part of it in the game. We get it. But we're talking about the game of football, big hits over the middle, timing. It's just, this is football.
That's football. And the more that you try to diminish that, it's no longer football. And I think that's what pissed him off, and it's pissed me off for a long time. And, you know, and it irks me. And I loved his line where it's like, okay, you caught the ball. Can I tackle you now?
Right.
Like, is this the right time for me to tackle you?
I know the funniest thing is when he said, I lost $50,000 because
Andy
Dalton
threw a bad ball.
Yeah,
threw a bad ball.
Right. And we do the same thing with flags, too. When they change the rules about defensive pass interference, all of this stuff, like, they're just changing the game at this point for stupid rules that are going to get reversed at some point in time, and we're just going to have to sit here and look back and went, hey, remember when that stupid rule existed?
We have to understand at the core of this, and listen, football's not for everybody to play or to watch. There's plenty of people that don't watch the game, and that's fine. I don't think anything less of anybody that doesn't watch football. But I'll say this. It's in our human nature. We have always had a barbaric side to us. This goes back to the gladiator days, okay? And for some people, there is an audience for this. That's why the UCF is so much more popular.
UFC.
UFC.
You say the FUC?
I think I said UCF. I think I was talking about Scott Frost and the Knights, and I didn't mean that. I'm talking about
UCF fighters. They're really good. Enjoy that.
Well, they're Knights. I mean, that's true. They're gonna bring the fight to the table. No,
they literally used to throw people to lions.
Exactly.
The Colosseum in Rome
is literally what the NFL needs.
Well, I mean, essentially,
instead of overtime,
people will tell you that's what they're doing.
When you hit the 10 time limit, it should just go to a gladiator.
Listen, I am not a baseball fan at all. I think it's the most boring sport next to tennis out there. Okay,
I would rather watch
golf than baseball. Right?
Really?
Now, here's the thing.
Was Tiger playing or no?
Yes, Tiger's playing.
Okay. Well, then obviously.
I've got an ingenious way to really spice up baseball, okay? Just randomly, this is like when no one's in the building. The ground crew puts three landmines, buries them somewhere on the ball field.
Sure.
Okay, maybe one's like, you know, on the infield.
Yeah.
You have a couple out there.
Right.
What I'm saying is it really just changes up the routine pop fly, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like... There's three, okay? And now you've got to expand the roster because some guys are going to get blown up. You know, you're out there and you know, it's
you
like...
You just like explosions.
Well, yeah, I do.
He's an action movie
I'm a product of
guy.
The 80s. Yeah, exactly. But stay with me for a second. So, you know...
Do we know where the landmines
swing
are?
Swinging a hit to the left field. No, they're buried. So
well,
like, the left fielder's out there. He's running. He's tracking it. You know,
who's going to sign up for this game?
Pop hit out to left field. And he's got it... no, he doesn't. Ball's free. Then all of a sudden, the center field is
alive, right?
Yes, the center field's got to come all the way across, you know, through the carnage, try to find the ball.
Who plants the mines?
Well, it has to be the league.
Let's get where it gets a little tricky.
It has to be the league.
I think the umpires should do it.
Or the, yeah, the
before
umpires.
The game, umpires go out, decide where they're going to put the three mines.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, here's the thing. Maybe if it's the first inning, right, and you want to steal third, okay, and all of a sudden you're running past the shortstop.
Now, do they keep playing the game with the giant crater?
Of course.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's,
which creates that's even more hazard.
That's
bigger
the
hazard.
Obstacle.
Wow. What if there's a landmine buried under the landmine? So when the first one goes off and you think you're safe going into the crater.
That's what you do for the postseason for the pennant race.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Because you might sit there and think, okay, we got this whole landmine thing strategically figured out. We got McPherson there. He's the umpire. He likes to have two in the outfield and one in the inside.
Let me back in there. I hear you guys. You're not talking about football.
Uncle Stan.
God,
sorry.
I thought security was going to drag him out of here.
We're on a roll here.
Speaking of rolls.
Oh, I've been on
somebody's
a roll.
Driving a Rolls Royce I saw. Yeah. Pulled up in the parking lot today in his Rolls Royce,
oh,
Trevor.
Really?
Yeah.
What,
somebody's
my car?
Done pretty good with mybookie.ag, I hear.
Done very well with mybookie.ag.
Tell us about
while you guys were gone, I was raking up the dough. I
betting against the Bucks.
Can't say that.
I can't say that I would look at the Packers -3 last week and say, wow, that would be a very interesting proposition because I would think that the Packers would beat the Bucks by more than 3 points. Oh, wait, they did. I'm not saying that I took the Packers on that. I'm just saying that when Sunday afternoon was over, I was a lot more wealthy than I was when I started watching football on Sunday. But I cleaned up with college football, too, and really have had a fun season. I've never actually won anything in terms of money. I go to Seminole Hard Rock knowing that – I'm going to lose $100. It's just going to be a matter of
when.
That's
not me.
Is it 20 minutes? Is it 30 minutes? Is it 2 hours? At some point in time, I'm going to walk out a loser. On mybookie.ag, I'm actually up $50 this year.
50?
I'm up 50.
You know,
I guess that was not a Rolls Royce he was driving.
I do $5 bets, but here's the thing. There have been a couple instances, I'm not going to say when and what games, where I put way more than $5 on teams. I actually bet Kansas State over Oklahoma State.
Foolish.
I took that game and I took the money line. I won $50 just on my alma mater, just on that game alone.
I can't nickel and dime bets, man.
You got to go.
You don't have four kids, Trevor.
That's true.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
That he knows about.
Well, you're right.
True.
I mean,
wait,
and
that would
there's an asterisk.
Wait. I was
going
to say that would require him to have had four girlfriends. Yeah,
here's
no,
the thing.
He doesn't have four kids.
Maybe I should go to mybookie.ag. And since I have four kids and I'm going to have car payments and all this type of stuff, car insurance coming up, maybe I should just bet it all. Maybe I should do a lot more action.
I thought you were going to say bet the kids.
Well, I can't do that. That's against the law. But I could throw a lot more money
at
them.
My bookie doesn't have like a black market.
In some countries.
You know?
They don't.
Okay.
They don't. But
that's good, actually.
But they have in-game betting, too. So you don't have to just bet the money line or the over-under or the point spread. You can actually bet first quarter, second quarter, halftime,
but what
whatever.
If I don't have much money? What if, say, I only have $50?
Well, here's the thing. You can take that $50, go to mybookie.ag, mention PewterReport.com's Pewter Nation podcast, use the promo code Pewter, and they will turn that $50 into $100.
What?
And when I say that I'm up $50, that's after they doubled my initial $100.
Nice.
So I am rolling in it right now. Thanks to mybookie.ag's double up bonus at the beginning. Mention Pewter. They're going to double your initial deposit, whether it's $100, $50, $1,000. There's some kind of limit, but most of you Pewter Nation people out there probably not going to put in more than a couple thousand. So I think you're safe. But they will double it and have a lot of fun. NBA is going on right now. NHL is going on.
College basketball.
Florida
State beat the number 5 team on their home court earlier this week.
There you go. College bowl games are going to be around the corner. Yep. NFL still in full swing here in December. So I've had an awful lot of fun doing it. I like it better than fantasy football. And maybe it's just because I'm winning, or maybe it's because it's just fun to go on there. There's different ways you can bet, over, under, point spread, money line, et cetera. Mybookie.ag, mention Pewter. They'll double your initial deposit. You can sign up at any point in time. Doesn't matter it's December right now. You haven't missed anything. Start with this week's games and have fun.
Well, I bet $10 that Ben McAdoo's key card was not going to work Monday morning, and I won.
Boom.
Boom.
You can actually bet on the Heisman Trophy race right now. Is Baker Mayfield going to take it? Is Bryce Love going to pull the upset?
No. I can't wait for
Lamar
Baker
Jackson
not to
get
double
it, up and get
and then he grabs
it?
His crotch at the committee.
I would love that.
That would be awesome. That would be sweet. All right, we are way out of time. Real quick, we got something going on. We'll obviously the Bucks and the Lions on Sunday. We'll have a podcast following that. But on Monday, you guys are going to get a bonus podcast because we're going to be live at Ford's Garage in Wesley Chapel with kicker Pat Murray. Pat Murray is going to come out. We're going to raise money for his charity of choice, which is the Shriners Children's Hospital. I want you guys to come out between 7 and
now,
9.
I got a question. Are we going to have an interpreter there for Pat?
No, but we will have bagpipes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that's Scottish. Never mind. So no bagpipes that I know of.
Well, he's got a little bit of a thick accent.
I think we can translate that pretty good. We'll see how that goes. But okay. He'll probably make some Irish references, including the fact that Ford's is going to offer up $3 Guinness drafts all night.
I will be drinking a Guinness or four that night.
Yes.
Sure. It's my favorite beer, and it's well-priced at $3.
And the Murray Kicking Irish Tailgate Burger. He designed it himself. They crafted it earlier this week. There's a picture up
on
the website now. It has haggis. It has Lucky Charms in it. It has shepherd's pie in
cabbage.
It.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just drenched in beer. Corned beef and cabbage. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's a half-pound Angus burger on a pretzel bun, mac and cheese, and strips of bacon on top of it.
Okay, now listen.
For $7.
You might think mac and cheese on a burger. Listen, their mac and cheese at Ford's Garage is one of their best staple foods. It is a tremendous side. And when I saw the picture of that on the PeterReport.com story, I know what I'm going to get for dinner that night.
And they're running a great deal. $7 for the burger. You can't beat that. For $7, for $10, you get a beer and a burger. And you get to hang out with the three of us. I mean, that's worth another $10. We won't charge you, but that is worth another $10.
Hey, if you're looking for a quick, easy Christmas present for the Bucks fan in your life, come out and get Pat Murray's autograph.
Yeah, we're going to have Christmas. We're going to have some pictures that he's going to be able to autograph. We're going to have some raffle prizes. We're trying to get a pair of cleats for him to autograph as well.
He's actually the best player on the team right now, too. Well, let's face it.
He's the MVP.
He's having the best season. So why not come out and see the best Buccaneer? Y'all wanted him, right? I mean, you've wanted him for years. The Bucks kicking situation
He's a cult
sucked.
Hero on Twitter. He's a bit of a cult hero. There's several I'm a Pat Murray guy, including our buddy Chris.
All hail Pat Murray.
Yes. So anyway, come check that out. That's going to be this Monday. There is a Facebook event. You can search for it there. Not really doing RSVPs, but if you could let us know to kind of give us an idea how many people will be there. We will be doing a live podcast, not really talking a whole lot about the game itself. We're going to talk about Pat and his journey coming back and things like that because we'll have a podcast on Sunday right after the game. But anyway, we want people to come out, hang out with Pat Murray and patronize Ford, one of our better sponsors or one of my favorite sponsors because they have amazing food as well.
And they're also giving a portion of the proceeds,
10%
right?
10% of the entire restaurant proceeds that night will be going to the Shriners Children's Hospital. So go make a difference, contribute, and come out and hang out with Pat and be part of the Pewter Nation podcast. We'll be taking some questions. If you guys have some questions for Pat, you can submit those before the podcast as well. So go to PewterReport.com. We'll find the Pat Murray story. Comment in the section. Let us know how many are coming. And we look forward to seeing you there. I've got a couple Cam and Brate 8x10s you gave me, Scott, still in the back of my car. I haven't sold them yet. I'm actually waiting to get pulled over on live PD and try and bribe an officer if I get pulled over in Pasco County.
Well, certainly after Cam's good game with 2 touchdowns.
Yes, you know, finally.
Yeah, that would probably get you out of a ticket,
yeah.
I think.
Well, I'm gonna save one for myself for that. But we'll be raffling off a couple of those as well.
I typically have a Cam Brate signed autographed 8x10 in the glove box
with your license and registration
Smart. Just in case I need it.
Yeah, no, that's always
Trevor,
that always works.
I don't.
Okay, we need to get Trevor one.
But the problem with he had a Jim McElwain photo and that does not get him out of tickets, unfortunately.
Was
that
it was the autographed shark? By the shark. Yeah. So
the shark humper. All right, we appreciate everybody listening to it. Let's go put our money together. We got to bail Uncle Stan out of jail. We probably were a little rough with him. But anyway, we appreciate Uncle Stan starting the podcast.
No, we don't.
And this music that he chose to intro and play out is just really awful. But anyway, that's Uncle Stan's contribution this year to the Pewter Nation podcast. For Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema, I'm Mark Cook. Sam, we'll see you again later this week for another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Out.
Out.